Okay, so this is Fatih, and he's going to be talking about VoIP Wars. Let's give him a big DEF CON welcome. Come on.
Thank you. I'm appreciated for listening and saying hello. My name is Fatih Özavcan. I will talk about Voice over IP Wars today. But we need a kind of previously on Voice over IP Wars. Because I had another presentation last year, and we had Voice over IP Wars, Return of the SIP, and we talked about session initiation protocol attacks, and I provided VPROI. It's a kind of next generation Voice over IP testing tool. It is developed for only pen testing, not for attackers. So basically, you can automate your tasks, but attackers may not. So I will not talk about SIP too much today, because I already talked, and if you are curious about SIP security, you can get the talk, but I will talk about hosted Voice over IP solutions, their security, and some Cisco and VoIP solutions products and their vulnerabilities. I will provide a few new techniques, I will provide a few new attack surfaces, a few new vulnerabilities, almost 40 vulnerabilities, and three of them still unpatched, basically 0 days. And I will provide new tool and new features, also development interface for you as well. And yeah, we are starting now. I'm Fatih Özavcı, I'm a security consultant, and I'm working for Sense of Security, and I'm proud of to be a part of this team, and thanks for them. Also, my interests are voice over IP, mobile applications, network infrastructure. I'm a basic penetration tester, so I can pen test anything. That's why I am pen testing voice over IP. I mixed some skills in this presentation. So the keyword is combining and merging the skills. And I'm author of VPROI Voice over IP Penetration Testing Toolkit. It is actually a Vulcanish word, and it means call. So this tool will have new feature, those features are skinny attacks, skinny libraries, VoIP special attacks, TLS, TCP features, encryption features, and vendor extensions. My agenda is talking about hosted voice over IP services and giving some basic information. I'm sure you don't need it, but let me try. Furthermore, we will talk about network attacks and Cisco Unified Communication Domain Manager attacks, Cisco Unified Communication Manager attacks, and we will have three different lines. First one is attacking SIP services, and we will talk about Cisco-specific SIP problems. Furthermore, we will talk about attacking clients, and we will talk about skinny attacks. This is a basic infrastructure for hosted voice over IP services. Hosted voice over IP services are multi-tenant environments. So basically, multi-tenant environments provide tenant-specific services. Sandbox items and sandbox services fully dedicated to this tenant. But shared services, they are available for all tenants, not specific one. So basically, they may have IP phones, soft phones, teleconference systems, or some of third-party connections. But they will use sandbox items, sandbox objects for all voice over IP communication, which are STP, RTP, and SIP servers, unified communication servers, and some VAS servers, CDR servers, and database servers, of course. Furthermore, they have shared services. Shared services are IP phone services, client management, tenant environment management, or PBX connections, such as landline connections and GSM connections. Furthermore, they have shared switch as well, but it depends on the infrastructure and configuration. If we want to attack one single tenant, we should use sandbox items. If we want to attack all environment, if we want to compromise all tenants, we should attack directly to the shared services. And I will show some jailbreaking attacks here. I will talk about Cisco and VoIP solutions. VoIP solutions, basically a hosted voice over IP provider, and Cisco is a partner. So basically, they will provide this hosted voice over IP environment for many customers. They may be Avaya or Huawei or Alcatel-Lucent as well, but we will talk about Cisco and WOS today. But these attacks can be cloned as well. Also, WOS, also known as Voice over Super Silly, created by Jason Ostrom as well. So you can use this extension as well. We will talk about these services, and services are basically separated to two sections. First one is web-based services to support and manage all tenant platform. And second one is voice over IP services to provide essential services. And we will attack almost all of them. Our goal is discovering the network, finding the bugs, defining the errors, learning the design, and attacking those objects. They think hosted voice over IP environments are secure, at least physically, but they are not. And we have physical pen test team, and they showed me, even military-grade operations, they are not secure. Their physical security is a kind of insufficient for those services. We can use a tenant connection at lobby phone or conference room phones, and we may have PC port connections behind the phones. Furthermore, we can impersonate a technical guy or another cable guy, and we can get an access. Also, we can manipulate the switching environment after physical access, and we can get a connection, a kind of access for voice VLAN. But we should know voice VLAN, and that's why we have CDP attacks, DTP attacks, and ARP spoofing attacks as well. I developed a basic, simple model for VPROI, Cisco Discovery Protocol model. It is available on VPROI package, and you can use it on Metasploit. Actually, I used Void Hopper developed by Jason Ostrom too many times, too many years. But I need a cross-platform tool and a kind of customization. That's why I developed this model. So if you have a Linux, you should use VoIP Hopper. If you do not have at the customer or engagement, you should use this model to customize it. Also, you can use this model to fast CDP features of Cisco as well. And all after all, we will have voice VLAN ID, and we will have a kind of connection. But we should keep it persistent. So we should add a kind of modified phone or wiretapping object. That's why I think about Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi is basic Raspberry Pi in the IP phone. This is Cisco IP phone 7940. And when I disassembled it, I saw that there is another board on it. And this board is a basic board, and it provides network connections. And those network connections are PC port connection, regular Ethernet connection, and a kind of auxiliary connection as well. Furthermore, they have power source. When I extract this board, I saw that it is connected using a white socket. And you can use this socket to connect or disconnect. When I extract it, I saw that this Ethernet connection, RJ45 connection, has pins behind the card. So basically, we can use these pins. And I use a basic cable, CAT5, and I created a basic clone of the Ethernet card. If this phone will be attached to the voice LAN, we can create and connect our Raspberry Pi to the same network. And yeah, there are two spaces inside the phone. First one is on this board, and second one is speaker space. And I put my Raspberry Pi to the speaker space, so you can use the other one as well. You may need the other one for battery, because power over Ethernet may have issues in this environment, because it needs... actually, IP phone will use electricity. Furthermore, Raspberry Pi needs electricity as well. But power over Ethernet may support only three Raspberry Pis at the same time. And as you know, IP phone needs more electricity. That's why you need another power source. You can use external battery, or you can try your chance with the current IP phone. For example, if you extract the speaker, you will see a battery connection right there. And yes, it has electricity, so you can use this electricity to your Raspberry Pi. It is not completed yet. I'm still working on it, and I will provide a blog on it. And actually, we will not talk about hardware attacks. We will talk about more protocol attacks and service-level attacks. All this environment must be managed. That's why we have Cisco Hosted Collaboration Suite. And this Cisco Hosted Collaboration Suite contains Cisco Unified Communication Domain Manager, also known as WOS Solutions Product Suite. It has IP phone services, self-care, tenant users management and their services, furthermore, tenant services management. The difference is tenant users will use self-care, tenant administrators will use tenant services administration. Furthermore, Unified Communication Manager will be in use for all voice over IP based services. We have reported almost 40 vulnerabilities to Cisco. Cisco reported that some of them, they are not vulnerability. Some of them, yes, they are vulnerability, but their impact is very limited. And some of them, yes, they are vulnerability. And Cisco published a few advisories, security notices, and some CVIDs as well. I will share those CVIDs and references at the end of the presentation. But here's the thing. We have another security advisory, and this security advisory contains two different unpatched vulnerabilities and one weird vulnerability. Two unpatched ones are vulnerabilities. We found them on WOS Solutions IP phone examiner services, and it is still unpatched. It will be patched about September, maybe second week. But the other ones, actually other one, is embedded secure shell key. Maybe you already know that. But the product is pretty expensive, so you cannot get this product and executable easily. So I have no private key right now. If you have this product, you can extract SSH key easily using its .exe file. Cisco Unified Communication Domain Manager also vulnerable for embedded secure shell keys. WOS Self-Care is a basic client platform, and this platform contains some cross-site scripting vulnerabilities, and yeah, they are stored cross-site scripting vulnerabilities, and you can affect other users of the same tenant. But Domain Manager, actually management services for tenant, it is a good attack surface for us. We can get an administrator user easily using enumeration features. Furthermore, if we have a user, we can elevate our privileges as well. We have multiple privilege escalations. Also, we have some stored cross-site scripting vulnerabilities. We have potential SQL injections and SOAP manipulations as well, and we will talk about them. A basic user enumeration is here. If you use device user, you will have a response, and you can create your enumeration tool easily. But if you use upload features, and if you send a bogus file, which contains some SQL injections, or a few bogus contents as well, you will have this error message. This error message contains some additional errors, for example, SOAP errors, some of them SQL-related errors. Cisco says that we fixed this bug, but it is not a vulnerability because there is no SQL injection here. I couldn't test it because all of them was a part of a project in an engagement, and during the engagement, I had only 5 days to test all this environment, HCS, infrastructure, also unified communication system as well. That's why I couldn't try SQL injections. If you believe Cisco, it is fine. But if you do not believe, you can try using insecure file upload features because it leaks some local path. It has Perl-based CGI tools, so you can create local file inclusion attacks or remote code execution as well. But they are potential attacks you can attack. Privilege escalation is easy. You can modify a user. If you have basic access, you will be a kind of location administrator of the tenant. But you can modify this environment, a modify user, and you can add a different role on it, and you can add role, for example, tenant administration, division administrator, or infrastructure administrator. Furthermore, if you want to add a user, you can use user type variable as well. If you use user type, you can use admin user, and you can add a new admin from scratch. Furthermore, we can manipulate number translation to redirect all calls or all extensions to others. So basically, we have many attacks. However, we have another major service here. And this service is IP phone management feature of VOS solutions. VOS solutions provide IP phone examiner services. This service is a shared service. It is a family, a basic tool set, but it is a basic shared object for all tenants. All phones, IP phone or soft phone or teleconference room phones or devices, it doesn't matter. They will use this service. So basically, we can attack the service to get additional access or compromise all tenants. We can use additional attacks on it. For example, call forwarding, speed dial manipulation, voicemail access, PIN changing. It is still unpatched. Second week of September, it will be in use. And this URL is basic attack surface. SRV is the service type and service name. Device ID, MAC address, and you can easily get it using ARP scan attacks. An action may be call forwarding or updating a basic speed dial. It is very secure, binary, undecodable protocol. So it doesn't need any authentication and authorization feature. Who can decode an XML file, right? So basically, this service works on an XML content. You cannot decode an XML file, right? That's why I developed two different models to exploit this vulnerability. I will not share these exploits on my software package, but I will share here. Furthermore, I will show this service in a different way. First problem is, this product is expensive. I have mentioned yet, okay. But the thing is, I cannot provide live demo on this product because I have no Cisco UCDM here. That's why I developed a fake service for it. So basically, I will use my exploit to this fake service. I hope it will work. I have video demo as well, but we'll see. Okay. We have a cheat sheet here and basic VOS demos. This service provides MAC-based identity management. After that, it provides all services, such as call forwarding or speed dial. At this demo, I will use call forwarding feature. I have this service here, probably one of them, here. This is our fake service. We can copy and paste our code. Basically, we will use a model, VPRO was call forwarding, remote host is 0.1, which is me, my port and action, and it seems we have a target. If the MAC address is valid, we will have display name of the FINT number. FINT number is unique in this environment, but display number is basically extension. If you want to redirect it, you should update this display number. So basically, we will update it. For example, set action forward to. See, it seems okay. Our display name is 007. Furthermore, we are talking about Cisco environment, right? We are not talking about IP phones. We are talking about everything, which means we have Jabber interface as well. Jabber interface provides additional connectivity for third-party items as well, such as Cisco Jabber or regular Cisco clients. Furthermore, SDK for all other third-party clients, such as Microsoft Link. At this point, we can use a forwarding just like it as well. For example, set forward to James Bond, and we can use name. As you see, name is updated. I'm showing this because Microsoft Link and other products may need email address to handle a message or call. So this is basic call forwarding. We can update all tenants. And we can redirect their all phones to us. And we can redirect just like a basic inter exchange server. We have additional speed dials. Those phones need a speed dial service because they have no speed dial on SIP protocol. That's why they need a kind of HTTP protocol to provide this speed dial access. That's why we have another model here. VPROT was speed dial, okay? Here we go. We have three different speed dials for this MAC address. MAC address can be brute force. MAC address can be obtained using ARP scan attacks as well. So we can get a kind of communication map of the tenant or all tenants. So we will have a communication path. We can add or remove a content. For example, add VPROT to third position, set action list, and run. See, VPROT is in the third position. We can try to add VPROT to a specific position, for example, one. Pole position is not available because it is in use. But we can modify it as well. So, getting list again. VPROT is in the pole position now. This service is a kind of dangerous service, but the thing is, it is in use for all tenants. So we can jailbreak all platform here. And we can redirect everybody, every user of all tenants. Okay, we go back. We have additional features. We talked about web-based attacks. But the thing is, I should show the fake service code and my exploit code here. My exploit is actually, it is pretty complicated. Actually, it has ASLR bypass and DAP bypass issues as well. So basically, you should be very careful. As you see, this is the exploit part. This is my shell code. And as you see, this is ASLR bypass feature. Provider name, FINT number, and forward to. If you do not use forward to, you will not bypass sandbox and ASLR and DAP as well. So basically, exploit is very complicated, and I will not share this exploit because of it is pretty dangerous. However, I can share my fake service, so you can find how it works, right? It is already available on VPROT's GitHub repo, so basically you can work on this fake web service to understand how it works. Okay, we should continue. Sufficient web attacks. We have additional voice over IP attacks here. And those are unified communication attacks. We have TDM, PSTN, and they're old. They think SIP is next generation, and they think SIP is ready to use for all unified communication system. However, they are not agree about features of SIP. That's why they modify the SIP. Not even Cisco. Cisco, Microsoft, and other all third-party vendors, because SIP has message methods. Yeah, good. It has invite as well. But the thing is, they use screen sharing, adding a file transfer, or calling a kind of voicemail using a sample WAV file, and etc. So those are very complicated things, and you cannot use SIP just like that. That's why they modified it. They modified SIP. Regular SIP protocol. They have additional extensions. And we will talk about a few ones. And the thing is, Cisco has authentication problems about SIP. But Microsoft has a few additional features on SIP. And yeah, we will talk about Cisco now, but we can talk about Microsoft later. It is basically a Linux operating system. So if you will fast remove Cisco Unified Communication, and if you have a vulnerability, you can execute the code on a regular Linux server. Keep this information. We should discover web services using our regular features, such as VPROT discovery features, register, invite, and other tools. Furthermore, SIPvicious is a really good tool. You can use it as well. It is in use and developed by Sandro Gucci. Thanks to him, I used this tool for many years. After that, I developed VPROI because I need additional authentication features, because attacking SIP services, it needs some kind of authentication. After authentication, we may have additional features. For example, registration or invitation, user enumeration. Yeah, we can get a kind of access on this SIP server. And we talked about SIP service attacks last year, and I actually demonstrated a few advanced attacks, such as proxy bounce attack and trust hacking. But the thing is, Cisco SIP authentication is somehow different. It needs MAC address, device type, and extension. Three of them must be valid to authenticate you as a phone. If you want to use username and password, it is fine. It is supported for third-party IP phones as well. Furthermore, Cisco suggests that secure deployment is essential for voice over IP environment. So they can use digital certificate-based authentication. But Cisco Unified Communication Manager provides additional user enumeration things for us, and you can use these errors. Register and subscribe. It is very easy task. You can use VPROI. You can check my presentation last year. You can use invite attacks. You can bypass bill or CDR. You can change your from number and etc. So regular attacks, and we can use them. Furthermore, I have demonstrated additional advanced attacks, such as SIP proxy bounce attack. We can use remote SIP proxy to scan other services or attack. It is already demonstrated last year. Furthermore, we can use it to attack other servers. For example, they provide 403 forbidden messages too much. If you send a bogus message, you will have 20 errors. If you use IP spoofing, you can use basic distributed denial of service attacks against Alderaan again. Also, we can use hacking SIP trust relationships. We can use IP spoofing, we can get a communication. After that, we can add IP addresses in the front field to find which IP address and port pair is trusted. I demonstrated last year this, and we initiated a basic call. Also, we can attack mobile applications using this as well. But the thing is, toll fraud is somehow different in this environment. First of all, Cisco UCMs accept MAC addresses as identity, and it doesn't need further authentication for many SIP-based IP phones and our all skin environment. Also, we can find rogue SIP gateways in this environment because they will provide Cisco UCM for users and tenants and all the environment. However, they need SIP trunks and additional connections. That's why they use additional cheaper objects, some SIP gateways and routers. That's why we can use them to initiate calls, because they have no authentication by default. We can use custom headers. We can add specific headers. Here's the thing. Remote party ID is very generic header, and Cisco accepts remote party ID because it is well-known SIP header, and it is a kind of compatibility issue. So, if we add a basic remote party ID in our current connection, authenticated connection, Cisco will accept remote party ID as an identity. So, it will be recorded, and we can call everywhere with a fake identity. Caller ID spoofing, yes, it bypasses the billing features. Furthermore, we can access voicemail and third-party operators. Here's the thing. We have public real-world attacks, such as caller ID fraud, and for all operators. If we have a vulnerable operator, we can initiate our attack, caller ID spoofing attack, to initiate a call through the landline connections to call a third-party GSM operator to access a voicemail account without a PIN, with its own caller identity. It is a well-known attack, and it is in use. Also, we can send callback messages, we can send fake messages, we can use spam, we can use this attack against other operators, and we can use many toll fraud attempts. And this is a basic demonstration of attack. I already demonstrated other SIP attacks, so you can find my last presentation, Voice over IP port, return of the SIP. It is available on YouTube as well. But I will use a basic SIP connection here. We will use our invite module, and we have two different clients here. First one and second one. And they are connected through a Cisco server. It is a trial edition. So basically, we will have a trial access, and yes, it works. I have registered phones here. And I will use invite module with proto TCP. We have TCP and TLS support now. So basically, we can use it. Furthermore, we will use specific from number and login features enabled. Furthermore, we have different login methods. I choose register. Furthermore, we have vendor exemptions here. And it must be in use. Vendor exemptions, first one is Cisco device. If you want to register yourself as an IP phone, such as 7940 or 41, you should use Cisco device authentication. If you want to use third-party device, such as third-party clients, you should use Cisco generic authentication header. After that, my username and password. This is not a vulnerability. See, we have a call. And yeah, the thing is, it is 1013. Let me explain why. If I unset remote party ID header, it will have a call from 2001, which is my original one, right? See, we have a from field here. But the thing is, we can set custom remote party IDs. For example, from James Bond. Or we can use a current client, for example, 1013. Also, we have additional features here. For example, sending a message. As you know, we have no public tool to send message. We should manipulate or we should prepare our tools, such as CP. And after that, we can send a message, right? But we can manipulate message features, such as message type or message content. And it is in use for additional sharing features of third-party clients, such as Cisco Jabber. So basically, we can change this content to attack different clients using different scale. For example, message type, fuzz 2000. It is possible as well. But I will use this sample for a basic social engineering feature. Operator is hack me operator because we bypassed authentication. Furthermore, it is a basic HTML feature, HTML message. So basically, we can send this message to a real phone as well. If it receives this message, if it is smartphone as well, this will be good. We can use other JavaScript objects as well. Furthermore, we can change message content, for example, message type. It is still text and plain, but message content could be fuzz 500, fuzz 5000. It depends on you. Some of clients, they are really vulnerable, such as Cisco Jabber, or for example, X-Lite, or we know Microsoft Link. Yeah, we will continue with other attacks. Because we can attack clients. I mentioned client attacks last year, so I will pass these slides. I already provided these slides on my presentation, so you can check them as well. And Cisco has different clients, and we can attack all of them. We can use man-in-the-middle attacks as well. And I have a tool for it. WebProxy is another tool. I have developed it for TCP TLS interception. Furthermore, it supports custom digital certificate. It has search and replace features. It has log feature. It has multi-port duplication as well. And it is a fork of EM proxy, event machine proxy example of Ruby. So basically, we use this tool to manipulate other clients. It has multi-thread issues. Sorry about that, but I will fix it in a few months. You can fix it as well. It is available on Repro Repo, so I will be appreciated if you patch it. This is a basic SIP phishing demo, and I already showed it. And basic client attack demos, we can use them as well. I have crashed an iOS application, Adore application last year, using only from spoofing, so we can attack. But this is not the case. We should talk about Skinny as well. Skinny is a generic signing protocol, and Cisco use it for all local environments, even for hosted voice or IP services. But it is a kind of compatibility requirement, because they will use SIP by default. They will use Skinny for regular SIP phones, regular Cisco IP phones. It is a kind of very, very verbose mode protocol. So basically, you should use many packages to register yourself. We can use basic attacks. When I search VoIP or SIP attacks or Skinny attacks, I saw always one single name, Jason Ostrom. He has a passion about voice over IP, but not only voice over IP as well. He helped me too much for this presentation. Thank you for him again. And of course, Viper and Spera, they have published some tools and vulnerabilities on Skinny. I'm not sure about Viper Leva as Skinny support because I saw in a documentation, but I'm not sure because there's no information on their page. And yeah. Also, Felix found a few vulnerabilities on Skinny protocol, but we have no public Skinny analyzer or Skinny tool. That's why I decoded this protocol using Wireshark, just like it. But the thing is, it has different versions, such as 17, 19, 20. So some of the packages and samples are not available on Wireshark console. So basically, you cannot decode them. That's why I developed this library. Right side, basic Skinny parser. It has many different options for many different responses from the server. And left side is a basic sample. Sending a register, it is pretty easy. Everybody develops a basic Skinny module. But the thing is, developing a Skinny module, yes, it is easy, such as register or call. It is pretty easy. But if you need more, you can develop using same library as well, because I provide a basic library through Metasploit. So you can basically develop your own fuzzer on Skinny. I have a basic fuzzer. It is not good right now, but think about it. Register needs no authentication, right? First register packages. So basically, many fuzzers fuzz it. But nobody fuzzes, for example, get button template. Or nobody fuzzes the remote server during a call. So you can do it, because all packages, all commands are very easy. For example, prep, open, receive channel. And you can use a bogus device IP here, or a port. So it's a kind of new attack surface for you. But I have a demo as well. If we register a specific MAC address, we can use regular clients as well, such as Cisco IP Communicator. It supports device name, custom device name, and you can use your device name here if you have a registration. Here is a demo. I have Cisco Communicator right side. I have Cisco UCM. I have Cisco UCM 9.1.2. But I tested all vulnerabilities on 10.5.1. 10.5.2 and lower versions. So it works with them. It has two different options, Cisco IP Communicator or a regular Cisco IP phone. You can use both of them. In this sample, I have two different clients. Let me check they can call each other. They can call. Good. And they call. And yeah. Now, we will use Skinny attacks. This is a basic register plugin. Basically, we will use remote target MAC address and IP address. That's all. IP address is server IP address. MAC address is IP phone's MAC address. After that, we can register. As you see, I can retrieve information of this MAC address, such as line IDs. But the thing is, I'm not using MAC spoofing here. I'm using MAC address in the TCP connection as an identity. That's all. There's no MAC spoofing here. So I can use other MAC addresses, such as this MAC address. When I use this MAC address, as you see, left up our first client, it is disconnected now. It's a kind of denial of service for older versions. I retrieve the information which lines available for this MAC address, and I'm one of them. But the thing is, we can initiate a call here. For example, I can call anyone. This is another model, VProSkinny call, and I will use another MAC address, and my target is 1013. When I use it, it will be registered first, and as you see, it is here. I do not fix this error. It is necessary because if the other client, real client, will try to connect, reconnect, you will have this error because your TCP connection will be terminated. There will be only one single client. That's why I keep this error. This says the remote client is trying to reconnect. We will try it again. See, it will work. So, it is registering now, and we are getting configuration, we are off-hooking, and we are calling C from 1001. Okay, registered, called, we can additional features such as call forwarding. It is more useful one. It is still trying to register, but if we try to redirect this phone number 1001 to 1013, it will be really good for us, right? Because we can redirect all phones to us. After that, we can redirect them to anywhere. It is connected, right? When I try to register, it is disconnected again. It may try a few times, but it will have success. Lines open for call forwarding, 1013, numbers dialed, and see, it is forwarded. This is my skinny module, and you can use basic features such as register, call, or call forwarding, or you can turn it to a kind of advanced fuzzer. So you can attack remote Cisco UCMs using this attack. As you see, I did not talk about toll fraud too much because we have a good speaker here. Patrick McNeil provided a really good, maybe best toll fraud speech ever this afternoon, this morning. And it was pretty good, and you should get a video or presentation, and please visit unregistered 436. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So he has a really good toll fraud speech, and I'm talking about other attacks. So basically, we can attack network, we can attack Cisco UCM, we can attack Cisco Unified Communication Domain Manager, clients, skinny protocols, SIP, we can attack everywhere. Solutions. Our solutions published by Cisco, and we have additional suggestions. First of all, IP phone XML service or remote party ID. These both vulnerabilities, and they are still unpatched, and you can attack these servers using remote party ID or IP phone XML services. Furthermore, you can use other vulnerabilities, and starting from 3277 to 3283, furthermore, a few additional vulnerabilities, and 97 and 3302. And we have, many vulnerabilities here, almost 12 CVEs assigned, some of them not here, because they are information level. Basically you should secure your design. We have attack surfaces on everywhere. We can attack server, we can attack protocols, we can attack clients, and we can attack web applications as well. Basically, secure deployment and good design, yes, they may help you to secure the network. That's all. And Yeah, I have references. You can download Vipro here. And I have a 15 minutes training video. Also, I have another DEFCON video. You can use YouTube to find it. And we have additional SIP attacks there. Furthermore, I'm really appreciated Sense of Security team. They supported me too much, actually. They encouraged me to submit again and again here. Furthermore, Jess Nostrom, he helped me too much about this presentation. Furthermore, with some good suggestions about my point of view. Also, Mark Collier helped me as well, Paul Henry, and Sandra Goichi, of course. This is the presentation. This is what I have. Do you have any questions related with this topic? Yeah, I cannot see, by the way. Yeah. Do you have any questions? No question? You do not give any question here? Okay? Okay, thank you.